Good morning once again. This morning, I had actually ran across a story from this past week, and I thought it would be interesting to preach from it and find some spiritual applications from the scriptures, of course. And it's actually an old story that I have heard, which I'm not sure if it's true or not. Maybe you can tell me at the end of service if you might have heard the same story. But the title is, It Happens to Frogs and Men. Now, the story goes that you cannot kill a frog by dropping it into boiling water. The reason why is because the frog reacts quickly to the sudden temperature change and will jump out of the boiling water. However, if you put the frog in cold water and gradually raise the temperature to boiling, he will not jump and will be boiled alive. Now, I don't know if there's anyone who has actually attempted that here or not. No one has to raise any hands. But that's the story. And it may seem that the frog is foolish, but are humans really any different when it comes to detecting gradual change? That's our question that we want to ask. That it happens to frogs and men. I want us to take a look at what the book of Hosea says about the tribe of Ephraim. And it's Hosea chapter 7 and verse 8. Once again, let's go to the Old Testament for just a moment and look at Hosea chapter 7 and verse 8. And notice there, once again, the tribe of Ephraim is being described where it says, Ephraim has mixed himself among the peoples. Ephraim is a cake unturned. Verse 9, aliens have devoured his strength, but he does not know it. Yes, gray hairs are here and they're on him, yet he does not know it. And the pride of Israel testifies to his face, but they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him for all this. I think that's a very interesting description. Very interesting that you see that according to Hosea chapter 7, and verses 8 through 10 of our reading there, that the children of Israel had actually mingled too closely with other nations to the point where they were doomed to suffer disaster. And you know, they were warned throughout time that they had to be very careful not to get in and along there with heathen nations. Because what would happen to them? As they mixed and mingled, they would start taking up certain practices. And they would find themselves on very dangerous grounds. And you see, they were slowly but surely swallowed up by those around them. Slowly but surely, their wealth was taken by taxes. Slowly but surely, their morality was destroyed by the heathen lifestyle. Slowly but surely, their worship to God had been contaminated with false gods made into idols. Think about that. How dangerous that was. And I want you to think of this as well, that guess what? This didn't happen overnight. It happened gradually, and this lifestyle became commonplace without the children of Israel ever even realizing how far they had gone away from God. How important was it for the prophets to come and say, hey, there's a problem. And he told them, if you don't change your ways, then there's going to be destruction. There's going to be problems, even worse than what you found yourself in. We see that today, that many things have become commonplace. And you'll notice this, of course, from last Sunday's lessons also. From the lesson entitled, Are You a Dud? Remember, Disciple Underdeveloped? How easy it is to look at our time frame and how far we have gone into it's just commonplace. It's okay. It has now become accepted practice where not only is it accepted, but it is now made into law. There's probably people back in the days of old that would sit there and say, that will never happen. Ever. We might even thought that in our minds, ourselves, in our life. That will never take place. And guess what? It might say it on our coins and our currency, and God we trust, but guess what? There are people that lead the nation that don't have the same belief as that. Even creeping into the very church that Jesus purchased with his own blood, it has become commonplace and departing from the living God. Israel was gradually being drained of its spiritual strength because of the constant influence of the world around them. How many times do we see that in the scriptures? Romans 12 and verse 2, and be not conformed, right? Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable the perfect will of God. It is the gradual change that is the focus of this story about frogs. If someone had made the changes suddenly, then the children of Israel would have rebelled against such a dramatic change, wouldn't you think? It's actually recorded there in their time as well that they would. With a sudden change, it would be easy for them to see their spiritual nature was decaying. But since it was gradually, they seemed to be oblivious to their spiritual condition. I use this very example of my own self, and this might be just because I don't react as quickly as a cat or some others maybe, but it's been a little while back. I was over there at Rancho Grande. You know how they had that skillet? You know, they come out with a fajita meat and that thing's just boiling up. I'm talking about me, Nathan. Don't look back at your daddy. But this is about me. And I sit there and I laid my arm across it to get something, and for some reason, I kept my arm sitting there. Guess what? I was burning. And it still hadn't reached yet to the point my nurse said, pull back. And when I finally reacted, I had a burn mark there. You know, how many of us as Christians can say that we have some burn marks? Something that we just didn't realize, we didn't catch on to, whether because I haven't been studying, because I haven't been being with the fellow saints, the Christians, because I haven't making the proper application of things, that I have allowed some things to happen to me, being oblivious of our spiritual condition. You see, both the frog and the children of Israel were led to destruction because the change was gradual, and the same thing can happen to us today. We don't notice it right off, but as it heats up and finally reaches, it starts searing the nerves. It starts changing. So what I would like to do this morning is to look at some different ways that a Christian may find themselves drifting towards spiritual destruction without them even being aware of it. So we're going to do some self-examination, just like in the previous lessons in our past weeks. Our first problem comes up when we cannot see our own faults as we can see those around us. This is one that's very common, isn't it? Now, if we go to Matthew chapter 7, we're very aware of the first verse. I mean, that's one that many people come right on out and say, judge not, lest you also be judged. I mean, you see that even on television shows, right? That one's one that's used all the time. Well, let's think about the rest of the scriptures there for just a moment. From verse 1 on down to verse 5, notice what it says in Matthew 7. Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, Jesus said in verse 5, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. I want you to know what Jesus is teaching here from Matthew chapter 7. Jesus is saying that before you begin to start judging others and pointing out their sin, you need to consider and make a closer look at yourself to see if that we are guilty of that same sin or even more. You know, you might remember the story that was in a bulletin a while back entitled The Window Through Which We Look. I remember that one. The wife, they moved into this apartment there, and she was looking out, and there was a line there, and somebody was throwing their clothes out on it. And that the wife told her husband, she said, "You look at their clothes, how dirty those clothes are. They must not be using this type of detergent, and they must not be doing this right, and so forth and so on. How could they go and put those clothes back on when they look so bad? I mean, they're sitting there drying them out, and they're still not clean." So she would say that every time she saw them put that out on the line, she'd say the same thing. But one day she came out, she looked out the window, and she said, "Wow," she said, "they must change detergents, or must be actually using soap." And the husband looked back at his wife and said, "No, honey, I cleaned the windows this morning." How true that is! The window through which we look, it was actually their problem. It wasn't their clothes. It was the way they were perceiving it through their own window. I have, you know people, and you know, and I think about our love for ourselves. Self-conceit, I guess, is the word that I'm looking for. That we cannot see the huge plank in our own eyes, as Jesus described earlier. And there's a great biblical example that I'll use of how a godly man could not see the plank in his own eye. I mean, this is one that is all-time favorite, and we already know where I'm going with it, right? I want you to consider David for just a moment before we move on. The man who is said, who is spoken of in the book of Acts, is a man after God's own heart. And I'm sure we all remember how David committed adultery with Bathsheba, and she became pregnant, and he tried to cover it up. Remember what he did then? He went from one thing to the next. You know? Because sometimes we'd say, "I would never, ever, ever do that." Well, he did it. He went to the point where he had trying to get Uriah to go home, spend time with his wife, so forth and so on. And when he would not do this, David, the man after God's own heart, remember, had him put where? On the front line of the war in battle, and had the men draw back so he would be killed. We're thinking, wow, can you believe that? Did David know that this was wrong? Yes. But I guess he thought he had gotten away with it, right? And he put it out of his mind. With that in mind, 2 Samuel 12 and verse 1. On down, we'll notice some verses here. 2 Samuel 12 and verse 1. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, "There were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished. And it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom. And it was like a daughter to him." Verse 4. "And a traveler came to the rich man who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one from the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him." Verse 5. "So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man, and he said to Nathan, 'As the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die.'" Notice the exclamation point. You can only imagine. "And he shall restore fourfold for the lamb because he did this thing and because he had no," notice the last word, "pity." He didn't have pity. So here it is that God sends Nathan to David to get him to understand something about himself. The eyes are always looking outward at something, right? It's the looking in that's the hard part. We see Nathan telling this story about how a rich man was doing a great injustice to the poor man. When Nathan finished telling this story, we saw that David was angry and he could see the sin of the rich man and even thinks he deserves to die to the very point of death. Continue on as we reveal who this rich man is. Verse 7. Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man." Could you imagine being on the other side of that conversation? That you're David? And Nathan tells you, "You are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king of Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I also would have given you much more." Verse 9, "Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon." Continue on in verse 10. "Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord." Pay attention, here it goes. "Behold, I will raise up adversity against you from your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this son. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun." This is a great example of all time of how a person cannot see the plank in their own eye sometimes. David didn't have any problems seeing the sin of the rich man because he thought it was somebody else, right? But his eyes were opened by Nathan the prophet as he revealed to him that he was the man. He was that sinner. It would be easy for us to find ourselves in David's predicament, because it's very hard for us to judge ourselves in David, to see the sins we have in our life. And if we don't try to examine ourselves, or we can slowly and surely drift away from God without even realizing it. Notice what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Prove your own selves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified?" He tells us it's very important that we keep a check on ourselves every day, because as Christians we need to test our behavior and actions, not among ourselves, but where? With the standard of the Word of God. That's where it should be. And if we see that we have that big plank in our eye, then we need to repent and pray to God for forgiveness and try our best not to allow sin back into our life. So with that being said, let's move on to the next one. Another thing that can cause spiritual decay in our lives, slowly but surely, is gradually backsliding from the Lord. I want to give you an example. It's something that you actually find in Hosea chapter 7 from our scripture there at the beginning of the lesson. I want you to say that your hair turns gray overnight. You wake up and there you are. Would that be a shock to you? It would be to me. But when your hair turns gray gradually, a few strands here and there, you don't notice it as much, and you kind of lose track of time, not really knowing when you started getting gray hair. That's why I get mine cut every week. Because I don't know if y'all notice from time to time, but I do have grays that go on the side, and I took after my father. And they sparkle in the sun when they start getting out there and kind of poofing out. And I'm trying not to be a vain person, but you know, I haven't got that hair stuff for men yet and coloring yet or anything like that. But, you know, you see those things gradually. But you know what? That's been happening for a while now, and I have actually lost
time, lost track of time, right? Or you can do just like BB and just shave it all off, but, you know, whatever. I want you to think about the photographs that have been taken over the years. Now, let's think about this for a minute. These pictures that we have taken can be used to see the changes that have occurred to us gradually. Think about that. Think about your photo albums. Let's say that you compare a picture of yourself when you were 18 to when you were 50 or older. Would it be different? What do you think? We'll say maybe, right? We definitely say there's a change that has occurred. How many times have we been looking at pictures with maybe other family or friends, and you see, they might see your younger pictures, and they have a hard time believing that is really you? How many times you've heard that before? Their mouth was in motion before their brain was in gear, right? Kind of one of those things there. Some might say, I didn't know you had hair, or I didn't know you were ever that, we're challenged. What did I say last night about vertically challenged and horizontally challenged and all that? How about this? Have ever taken one of your photos and held it beside your face in the mirror? Have you ever done that? And seen for yourself how much you have changed over time? I was looking through my yearbook. I haven't changed that much. But I'm sure it might surprise us, really, when we actually think about it, how much we have changed. However, when we think about it, you really didn't notice these changes that much because they happened gradually, year after year after year. Keeping this concept in mind of how much we change on the outside physically, think about how we also change in the inside gradually. Mirrors are so easily accessible these days. You've heard us talk about this before. This one is too. This one is just as much accessible. How often have I looked into it to see my soul and to see if I have gradually changed over time? I think the most amazing part is we really, I know that they have Botox and all these other things these days to make all these other changes. But you know what? This one right here is pain-free. It's already been paid for. That as this deteriorates over time, as the Scripture says, guess what? The inner man can be renewed day by day. People are trying to find the fountain of youth so that they can find the newest and latest thing to make themselves look, oh, I want to look just beautiful. There's nothing wrong with that about looking, you know, changing our features or whatever. I'm not saying put all that money into it or anything like that. Don't become vain and conceited of that sort. You know, take care of our appearance and such. But how much, if people spent that kind of time and effort into changing the inside, first and foremost, it won't matter what this looks like in the end. Because it's all going to return to dust anyways. So let's think about that for a moment. Most Christians, you know, would not go from going to church all the time to not going at all. Wouldn't that be a change for me that next Sunday, I'm not here? Wednesday, I'm not here. Sunday, coming again, not here. And it just goes on. Say, no, that's not the way that works. We might realize that, you know, it's just not that important. Rarely will that person show up. Time passes on. Gradually, the person might start thinking, I don't need to make it at all. Slowly but surely, we get to the point, maybe once or twice a year. This happens. This happens. If we're not careful and we do not watch ourselves, we can gradually drift away from God. Now listen to this saying that goes very well with what I've been talking about. An act often repeated hardens into a habit. And a habit long continued petrifies into what? character. That's truth right there. The Bible teaches it. This saying is very true, and it's why we should examine ourselves and try to notice gradual changes we are making in our lives. Ask ourselves some questions. Are we starting to miss services because we don't feel that they are important? If we are, then we could very well be on our way of gradually drifting away from the Lord. We have two more, and the lesson will be yours. Another thing that causes a person to spiritual decay without realizing it is by having too much interest in other matters. Here's another example. Not just the gray hair thing that we talked about, but let's say that faithful Christian gets new jobs. That's a new one. Or maybe some hobbies that come along. And, you know, we really enjoy these things. But this person is too tired and exhausted. We know how that feels to study God's Word. That's a very interesting picture, isn't it? That this dust has been piled upon this Bible that someone could actually put on there, "Read me." You ever seen that sign before? It's put outside on marquees and things that says, "Dirty or dusty Bibles leads to what? Dirty lives." Do you believe that? I believe it. It happens, and it can happen to us. We become too tired to study God's Word when we get home. We soon become too tired to remember to pray to God and ask for forgiveness of our sins, for thanking Him for all that He has done for us, all the blessings that we have. And because of this inactivity in our lives, it begins making us do other things. Once again, as we talked about missed services, not show up, hear a sermon about the importance of making the best use of our time for the Lord. Before we know it, this person will have no time left for the Lord, and they will slowly drift towards spiritual destruction because they are so distracted by their activity. Friends, we have to make sure and watch the activities that we get involved in. If we see that it's causing us to miss services or cause us to be too tired to study God's Word, pray, then we have to stop that activity or find some way to modify it so that it doesn't become between us and God. That's important. Us and God. That relationship. Matthew 6 and verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Do we have faith and trust in that statement there? If our priorities are not right, it will be very easy to allow things to lead us astray in our life. They become the gods, the idols that Israel went after in their time. The last and final point is the entire congregation can gradually drift into error without even realizing it. You might have seen this throughout your life. There are many congregations that used to be sound in God's Word which have gradually drifted into error. You see, we label those as change agents today, and they are actually very smart. They understand that they cannot change a congregation overnight. And think about this. Let's say, just for example, that a person comes in and just, I don't know, let's introduce instrumental music as part of the worship. Now, if they just roll a piano in the building, what's your first reaction going to be? No, I don't think so. And they express their desire to have musical instruments to worship. I believe that a sound congregation in such instances would tell the person to take the piano and leave. But see, a good change agent knows that they must be patient and they must work in the background to get their way. Romans 16 and verse 17, "Now I urge you, brother, note those who cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learn, and avoid them." Verse 18, "For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple." Paul actually warns the churches to find or to watch out for those who cause division. But also notice he describes these change agents or false teachers as having smooth words and flattering speech which deceive the simple. The first thing that we'd want to do if we were a change agent is to test the waters. See what people think about instrumental music. The people who don't seem really sure about themselves these are the people that we would actually want to become really good friends and start working them by making positive statements about the use of them. You see how that starts getting the ball rolling? That's what Paul was saying, how dangerous it is. And that goes for any other type of false doctrine that is in existence today. Knowing this, once again, we should always be watching and studying our Bibles so that we can recognize when someone is trying to change the church of our Lord, His kingdom. As you look through the Scriptures, I hope that we can prove, once again, according to the Scriptures, everything that has been taught here. Let's not fool ourselves into thinking that it could never happen here, because it could happen anywhere given enough time and because of lack of watching. So let's conclude the lesson. Remember that spiritual decay happens slowly, and sometimes it happens without us even realizing or knowing it. Examine ourselves, and watching for these changes daily will prevent it. And my friends, just remember, as easy as the story is to remember about the frog, is it does happen to frogs and men. Is it happening to you right now? The things that we've been talking about, I need to look at myself, me, and say, am I the man? If Nathan the prophet was standing here and gave me some kind of description like that, and that story that he gave David and Samuel, would he look at me and say, you are the man? You are it. If it is, if there's something that is amiss in our lives right now, and we need to make that change right now, whether to be baptized into Christ, to arise and walk in newness of life, to make that ultimate change once again, that we might start doing the will of our Father, which is in heaven, in accordance with Him. Or, as Christians, to repent, to find encouragement from one another. In any way, won't you come as we stand and sing a song that's been selected?
A jolly yes shall I find.